Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Well, I'm Ben.
I'm Brian.
And welcome once again to the quest for 10,000. Thank you so much for listening and downloading and hopefully sharing this podcast with a friend as we journey with Brian on his quest to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. Today's episode is Brian's birthday. We are dropping this episode a couple of days before Brian's 37th birthday.
That's correct.
We are going to reflect on the year that has been, everything from August 6, 2015 up to the air date of this episode, talking to Brian about twists and turns on his quest, as well as the films that he has watched more or less in the end of 2015 and beginning of first half of 2016. Our top five is going to be Brian's choice, since it is his birthday after all. He gets a little bit of a say in this. So, Brian, what will be the top five for this episode?
Coincidentally, it is approximately halfway through 2016. So as we take a break and we round the corner into the Oscar season, I'm going to just go over what I think of the movies I've seen that have been released in 2016, which five are the ones that I've most enjoyed.
But before we get to all that, this week has been the San Diego Comic-Con, a time when the entertainment industry, for everything from comic books to video games to toys to movies, kind of showcases their wares for the coming year or years in some cases. So we thought we might need to take just a little bit of time at least to mention that. Now, Brian, you have perhaps a very interesting and at the same time limited take on San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate what they're doing. I read about it, but I don't find myself like searching for these trailers that everybody gets really excited about. It I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't interest me as much as it did maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I'm not as interested.
Well, I mean, you're trying to watch movies. You don't have time.
Well, That's true. And there's a lot of times I'll go to a movie at the theater and I'll see a trailer and I say, ooh, that looks good. And the person I'm talking to says, I've seen it 10 times, you know, and I'm like, oh, my bad. You know, I just don't.
Well, even with that caveat, what was there anything that you heard of coming out of Comic-Con?
Well, I did see.
That you thought was kind of exciting, particularly about movies.
Well, and the one thing that I am excited about is because I am on the Brie Larson bandwagon. So Brie Larson as Captain Marvel just feels like, you know, to go from a pretty solid but mid, not even B-level, you know, as far as level of credibility, to Oscar winner and headlining your own Marvel superhero movie in one of the first ones centered around a female character within the span of 18 months is a pretty incredible ride.
Yeah.
So because, I mean, you know, that was 2-3 years ago, she was slumming it on guest episodes of Community. So, you know, as Abed's maybe perhaps girlfriend, and now she's headlining a pretty big tentpole, and she has an Oscar somewhere in there too. So
yeah, I think our last episode was top ascending and descending.
Yeah, we didn't even mention
Brie.
Didn't mention her, and I want to go back to that for a minute because we had said on there last episode that Charlene, she's 26 by the way, to let you know what you've not been doing with your life, but. Shailene Woodley, we said she was descending. And I found, since we last did our podcast, the Divergent series has announced that following the lackluster performance of the most recent theatrical release, that the fourth movie in the franchise will not even be getting a theatrical release.
Yeah.
It's going straight to DVD, and it will also serve as a backdoor pilot. And so they're going to push the people that are here to the side and push other people forward. Right. So her to say it's descending may be generous use of the word descent.
The one we hit on, one we completely missed.
Oh my gosh.
I looked at a couple of the trailers before we started recording tonight. So I'll just say a couple of recommended things. If people listening to this haven't seen them yet, or just want to kind of comment and ask us what we think about them, I would highly recommend the Justice League footage. They call it footage. It's really a trailer for the Justice
League. I want to watch it because I've heard it's lighter, it's funnier. But I feel like, how does that mesh with what the universe they've established in the two movies we've seen?
I think that's a great question. We can talk about that at some point further. But I also think that the Doctor Strange trailer, the second Doctor Strange trailer.
That movie's going to kill it.
And then there's been a lot of footage released with Rogue One. And I think we probably have a conversation in the future, again, about this expanded Star Wars universe. And what it kind of means for
filmmakers
and fans.
Yeah, I will say this.
What impact it might have on making movies down the road.
Well, I will say this, that quietly, this is a really big gamble by taking the Star Wars property and pushing it off into ancillary stories. It doesn't feel like it is. It feels like it's just printing money. But on the other hand, it is a bit of a gamble because you're testing the audiences. You know, one of the reasons that the original trilogy and the prequels were so, because they were finite. You know, it was a small thing. You loved it. But once you start talking, you know, tens, dozens, twenties of these movies, it becomes a lot harder for anybody to really love the entirety of it, you know?
And it's interesting because in some ways it becomes a little bit more similar, at least in terms of the output, to Star Trek, which maybe the last thing I'll mention before getting into your birthday celebration. The last thing, I haven't had a chance to see this yet except just headlines.
Me neither.
Some footage for the new series, but so far it seems like, you know, after the Wrath of Khan version 2.0 that came out that really kind of got mixed reviews at best. It seems like Star Trek though may be a little bit rebounding from that. This new show has gotten a lot of, I think, good positive buzz and interest. The Star Trek Beyond, as we talk, is the number one movie this weekend at the box office.
But I will
it's
say
got really solid reviews. So. That's another piece of the Comic-Con.
Imagine that Star Trek movie, that there could be a movie on Star Trek that would not focus on one of the beloved central characters, like a Star Trek movie that didn't have Captain Kirk?
Like a documentary?
No. What I'm saying is Star Wars is going on a movie that doesn't have any of the stars. I mean, they're moving on, you know, characters that we don't know, and they're still their background characters. They're like making a movie, in essence, to borrow a Star Trek kind of catchphrase. They're making a movie about a red shirt, you know, a guy who kind of is in the background that we don't really have any knowledge about them, and they're turning that into a feature-length film. And I don't know if that's something that we've seen from Star Trek movies have always been about well-established characters that we have preconceived notions about who they are and how they're going to relate to each other. So this does feel a little bit different. Although I see where you're going, and I am cautiously optimistic about the new Star Trek series, except it's going to be on CBS All Access, which means no one will watch it.
there is that. But anyways, again, I think a Star Wars Star Trek would be a great topic for future discussion.
Oh, sure.
Right
sure.
Now, we need to focus on the present, which is happy birthday to you, Brian.
Well, thank you.
Happy birthday to you. So it has been, another... turn of
around
year.
The yeah. around, trip around the sun yeah
trip around the sun for you. So as you are a couple of days away from turning 37, just what are your kind of general thoughts about your quest so far in the past year?
When I turned 36, looking at it, or as I approached 36, this was summer of last year, so it's a little before then, you know, the pace was under what I needed it to be, I think, I didn't want to have to go into to 39 and just be killing myself, having to commit, you know, massive amounts of time and just have that pressure, self-imposed pressure, but pressure about, oh, you know, I'm just not, I didn't want to do that. I wanted it to be kind of like a, almost like a victory lap as I go around and I'm like, okay, you know, I can just kind of breeze through. That's what I wanted. So last summer I made a concerted effort to really watch, and you know, you can call it cheating if you want to, but who cares? I watch a lot of short films, particularly silent short films from the early 20th century, Georges Méliès, Chimondo, and some others. So I really, you know, padding my stats, whatever. But I got a lot of those knocked out so that I could get up. And so I feel like I'm at a comfortable pace. I'd like to get a little bit, by the time next year rolls around, I'd like to be a little bit, keep up a little bit of a hectic pace so that I'm you know, I know I'd like to have it towards a little under, somewhere between 800 and 900 per over the last 2 years. So about 1,600 left is what I'd like to be at by next August. And I think I can be right around there.
And we're about right now, as we hit 37, we're about 3,000 short.
Yes. We are roughly 7,000. So.
Okay. So you'd probably say your biggest achievement was that you're able to get a little bit ahead of the curve in the pace. And you think probably your biggest goal for the next year is continue that trend?
Yes, I would. Yeah, I would much rather have that last year where, because I know that comfortably, 1,000 to 1,050 to 1,100 is a comfortable, you know, and that's going maybe a day or so without here or there, without watching anything because of, you know, the constraints of what life does to you. So you know, the good things, the things that you live for.
You know, not just all consuming.
Yeah. So you know, so that gives you some leeway and some flexibility, and I'd like to have that.
So about how many movies, kind of ballpark it, do you think you've seen between August to August?
I'm ballparking, but it's somewhere between 1,350 and 1,400. It's somewhere in that range.
Okay, so you need to do about this year about what you did last year. Maybe if you can get a little bit further,
and then I can sort of. I would really like to be in the last year, have kind of a coasting, sort of like a senioritis kind of thing. Like,
right.
You know,
right.
Not have to worry about my grades because I'm already accepted into the school I want to go to. You know. So.
Right. I mean, you have a 90 in AP chemistry.
Yes. Yes. That joke will not work for everyone else. But
no, that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut from our.
Although friend. I did throw you a softball.
That's a deep cut. well, how during this year have you sort of felt like you're just kind of going on your own, or have other folks kind of helped inspire you, keep you accountable, do that sort of thing?
No, they've been supportive. I mean, like Emily. You know, she's been really good about it. She hasn't been begrudged or anything. Or and you know, there are times when I know it's, you know, I can't, that it need, the other things need to come first.
Okay, good. So what's probably been, you mentioned you watched a lot of the short films to kind of get your pace a little faster than you had been. What are some other changes that you've noticed this year as you've kind of watched films? Is there anything else?
Well, this was my first
that you hadn't done other years.
This was my first full year. Sometime towards the end of towards the spring of 2015, maybe March to April, somewhere in there, I found this. Well, I had seen the website before, but I subscribed to this streaming website called Mubi, and I may not. It's MUBI. And they're a curated film website. So what they do is they have 30 films that are streaming at any given time, and each day they add a new one, and the oldest one rolls off. Mm-hmm. So you have 30 days to watch whatever film is out there, and then it disappears, and it may or may not come back at some future time. And so I've started, like, that's one thing that I do that every day. You know, I rush through and caught up, and now when they get a new one out, I try to watch it. So that's my priority. For the most part, every day is whatever they have told me I should watch, whatever movie they've curated. And occasionally, you know, occasionally there'll be something I've already seen. I don't watch it again. I just, you know, I'll just skip that day and move on to my other list or things that I have in mind. That's been good. It's not just going through a list of what somebody else said was great. It's watching films that I would not have ever thought to look at. The one that's out today is a documentary about the history of the banjo. Narrated by Steve Martin.
Oh, and
it's called, Yeah, it's called Give Me the Banjo, and it's really good, you know. But you wouldn't have sought this out. I mean, you're not gonna like be riveted, and I'm not sitting there wondering, you know, the secret history of the banjo as an instrument. But it, you know, so that's the kind of stuff. And a lot of foreign films that I wouldn't have watched otherwise, smaller independent films that you know I wouldn't have seen. So that's been enjoyable.
Now, one of the biggest additions to your quest, I tentatively, humbly say, is probably this podcast. Our podcast also, twice a month, we're coming up. I think this is episode 22 or 23.
I think that's correct.
And so we're coming up, since we do twice
on a year anniversary,
on a year as well. So
yeah.
How is the podcast? Has it helped you? Has it been made things more of a challenge?
It has, because it forces you to process things, or to think things through, or to just articulate things that maybe you hadn't thought of before, and in some cases defend things that you were doing. You're like, oh goodness, you know. And I will say, like in the last couple of episodes when we've been talking about what I had recently seen, I will make it a point, if I know we're going to podcast that day, to watch something interesting.
Yeah.
I'll be like, do I want to talk about this today? Nope, let's watch this instead.
There you go. So listeners, you are a big part of Brian's success so far this year. So that's a good thing to think about. What's been an obstacle for you this year? And this one doesn't have to be unique. It might be an obstacle that's been one throughout kind of the time you started this intentional journey.
When you go into the like deep cuts, when you say you have the book that I think everybody's seen at the bookstore, 1001 Must See Movies. Okay. So they're on like edition 7, 8th edition, whatever with the book. When you go through and you're trying to watch all of them, you realize that there are a good many of those films that are just not available on DVD or on easily accessible formats. And so they, you know, but that's been an obstacle, but it's also been part of the fun.
Yeah.
Is trying to find how can I watch this, you know? Or you go on some website and you see where someone else has seen it, so you're like, how did they see it? So you know, you'll message somebody who's like, how did you see, where did you find this, you know? And, you know, you just find different ways of delivery and different ways to find things. And that's part of the fun. It's also fun, too, like when you go into a store where there are DVDs and you look around, you're like, ooh, you know, and you see that you've seen a good many of them or a lot of them, and it's just, it's almost like a slideshow of your memories watching them, because you can see all these different, you know, experiences that you've had. That's fun and gratifying in a way.
See, how would you rank the year in movies so far in 2016?
Okay.
How would you say it stacks up against the last 5 years in terms of film?
Well, you know, it is difficult to get a perspective. And of course, you go into it in August knowing that the studios have saved a lot of their really stellar material until the end of the year. But it's on par. I thought 2015 was maybe a bit of a down year. I thought 2011, 2010 were stellar years, were just outstanding years that I think will resonate.
That's one of the Inside Atlas came out, right?
Well, of course. Of course. I didn't want to have to say that, but that's obvious. But some other gems that I really adore. I think The Avengers came out one of those years or right around that time.
Right.
Winter's Bone, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, which everyone else hated. So, you know, and Harry Potter ended, which, whatever, you can say what you want to about it. I think it'll have an impact well beyond,
right,
you know, the time that you or I walk on this earth. Those movies will mean
2016,
something.
2016, I'm still going to see the release, I think, of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. But would you say, though, 2016 so far, if you had to kind of define it with some kind of one word or one phrase, would you say it's kind of the year of the franchise?
Well,
would you say it's just maybe a continuation of that trend in filmmaking?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you're talking about. You're talking about studio releases, sure. There are numerous other movies, and we have never in our lifetime seen as many possibilities for access for filmmakers to get their films seen to a wide number of people. And those films are not franchises, and they're not sequels, and they're original, and they're fresh. And sometimes they are derivative in the sense that they're homages to stuff people grew up with in the 80s and 90s that they're reinterpreting in a new way. But the studios, the big studios, they are not in the business of making artistically pleasing films. They are in the business of making money. And why would you take something that you know people will pay to see, and I don't want to make that because it's derivative? Like, that's your goal, is to get people to see it.
Well, all right. Well, let's go ahead then and go to top five movies released in 2016 that you enjoyed.
Okay. Number coming in at number five did not get a theatrical release that I'm aware of, but it was on an HBO film about the passage of the Civil Rights Act in 1964, starring Bryan Cranston as LBJ. And it was just so I like politics. I like inside baseball stuff. I like stuff that kind of gives you a glimpse into the man behind the historical figures that we, you know through repetition, and we know through how many times we've seen them, but we don't really know them. We know kind of what they represent. And it was just so, he was fantastic. Martin Luther King was played by Anthony Mackie. He was good. It was a very, very, very good movie. And it also exposed the dealt with the racial tensions, but it also dealt with the backroom deals that were getting made and the kind of screw jobs that were happening to get stuff passed and the way people were getting. It reminds me in a way of the 2012 movie Steven Spielberg did, Lincoln, which was, about Abraham Lincoln, but it was really more about the way in which he guided through the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment and what he had to do to kind of finesse the edges to get that path. And it would be fascinating to watch them side by side and see, because they're so similar.
Well, it's funny, you alluded to earlier, Brie Larson and the heights that she's reached from where she was.
Oh, Bryan Cranston. Oh, my gosh.
I'd say, too, Anthony Mackie. I think Anthony Mackie has a chance to
kind of
fill the spot that Will Smith used to have.
Well, and to think that Bryan Cranston has in a career gone from being Tim Watley to Lyndon Baines Johnson, and somewhere in between, he was one of the baddest mofos of all time in Walter White. So,
you're goddamn right. So, yeah. number four for you after LBJ.
Again, this is a documentary that, again, is what I've enjoyed the most. The ESPN documentary about the 85 Bears. Mm-hmm. It was heartwarming. It was touching. It was about how, sports are one thing, but the relationships that we form through that camaraderie and through working together to do that and what that means. And when you think, that Buddy Ryan died, not long after that, the whole thing, it was a great piece to me, a great piece of filmmaking that transcended what it was about how people relate to each other, irrespective of their backgrounds and where they came from and how a common goal can unite us.
Well, and it's also a great reminder that even people who in certain walks of life and in other ways are probably not saints and angels and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
In particular context, particular ways, it's kind of a very humanizing film.
It is.
It reminds you that, Buddy Ryan, I don't know that necessarily the impression that people get who are football fans know Buddy Ryan is probably, he's probably a jerk and he's probably a pretty mean guy, but in certain contexts, he was deeply beloved and also capable of a lot of great love and care.
That was, I agree.
And
it's also, it's always fun when you, especially, again, it's sort of the same reason that I like All the Way. It's always fun to see these people, as opposed to these fixed ideas of who they are. Because it was so interesting, especially with the perspective we have now. It's interesting to see the combative nature of the relationship between Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan, and the way that kind of affected their team and the way they were able to coexist, but then they splintered, and it was just.
Well, Dick also really, saying, "Yeah, I probably messed up." I mean, that was. I don't know if he ever actually said that at any point in that film, but you sort of got the tone that he would have been willing to say, "Yeah, we probably did things we shouldn't have done." That was kind of interesting too. So number three.
Number three is another documentary, also by ESPN. This is one a lot of people have already talked about, and this was the O.J. documentary, O.J. Made in America. Man, it was engrossing, and there was so much about it that you just, you know, and it's hard to believe that there's something that we have, you would think, have exhausted its possibilities for what new insights we can plumb and what we can find, but they managed a way to do it. Part of it was they focused a good bit of it on O.J. before the trial. So they sort of set the stage for, because I think we, especially people my age and maybe a little bit older, we don't know O.J. as the running back at Buffalo or the Heisman Trophy winner from USC. We only know O.J. as possibly the goofy actor in Naked Gun and the murderer. So it's really interesting to see how he rose and how that his rise also was like tied into a new dawning in America consciousness of race and of celebrity and fame and of athletes transcending those things and how he rode that wave and how he was a part of the civil rights movement because he was black, but yet he was intentionally not a part of it because he didn't want to risk his career. And it was, you know, it was just so, it was really interesting. And it said so much about where we have been over the past 45 years or so.
Well, nice. So another film again, talking about these iconic figures though, as people and as humans.
Yeah.
It's number two.
The last two are completely fictional and don't, you know, I'm going to go off my theme here. And I'm sure that by the end of the year, these movies may not make the top 20. Number two, I think, will hang around for a while, and it was a raunchy, raucous, good time. It was Deadpool.
Now, I saw that movie. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as everybody else did, but I do think it was
I really liked it. I liked that it was just a tongue-in-cheek. It got it. I think it was one of the best things. I don't know. I think it got why people like comic books in the first place and kind of played it. Of course, it was all like fanboyism, of course. I mean, I don't think that if you don't like comics or if you don't have a taste for them, I don't know that you would like it. But I really enjoyed it. And it was a Ryan Reynolds redemption story.
I think even just the testament to the skill of those involved, I think with that script and the portrayal of that story to take a character that's kind of hard to relate to, kind of obscure in some ways.
And also not a very nice
really
person.
Relatable. Yeah, and make him really relatable. So that alone would make me not question the decision, even though I don't know that I was as blown away by it as some other folks were.
Yeah, I can understand that. But right now it's a solid in my list of what I've seen.
All right. So what
number one
better than Deadpool?
Well, number one is a recent film that some people didn't love it, and I don't necessarily think it's one of the all-time greats. But it was so much fun and so refreshing in a way because of its take. I really enjoyed The Secret Life of Pets.
Wow. Okay. We saw that this weekend.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it in part because, and we talked a little bit about this weekend, I think that the people doing Secret Life of Pets, the Illumination Entertainment, the people behind Minions, Despicable Me, that they, their movies have heart because you've got to have some sort of like sweetness to a children's film. But they embrace chaos and anarchy and sight gags and just that kind of free-flowing spirit that I think is the successor to maybe where Looney Tunes was in the 50s and 60s in a way that Pixar eschews. And they're funny, but they're funny in a very safe and very sanitized way, whereas I think these people are more willing to go in different directions and just see where it takes them.
Well, there you have it. Secret Life of Pets, best film of 2016 so far, at least
August 2016. You check with me. We will write this top five down, and we'll see where each of these five films finish up the year at the end of 2016.
At the end of the year. Well, Brian, once again, happy birthday. Listeners, if you'd like to wish Brian a happy birthday, you can do that on Twitter at 10K Movies. TNK Movies, or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Leave us a note there also about what you think are the best movies of 2016 so far. And anything, if you've been following this podcast, anything that you have enjoyed, think we can improve upon, think we need to change up or add, we'd be happy to hear from you about that. Until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus, borderline 11.